answered. And now back over to you, Sonia. I hear that you're going to be talking about the importance of the identity platform in this next segment.
That's right, Rick. I'm here with Jesse Sooner to talk about identity platforms. Welcome, Jesse. Hi, how are you doing?
Thanks, Sonia. Hi. How are you?
Good. Look, thank you for joining me today. Jesse is actually based here in Brisbane as well, though we are not in the same physical location today because of, you know, this pandemic that's going around. But can you tell us a little bit about what your role is at Microsoft?
Yeah, sure. So I'm engineering manager in the Fast Track for Azure team. And so our team is all about helping customers, you know, adopt Microsoft Cloud in, you know, a secure and resilient, easy as possible way. And my expertise or area of focus from a technology point of view is identity. I've worked in that space for quite some time.
Yeah, and that's really important because I think when we go out with messages of just put everything in the cloud, we can sometimes oversimplify how big a challenge that is, especially when organizations may already have an on-premises footprint and they may not be going full cloud and they may be in that hybrid environment. So it's great to know that there are some technical specialists like you to help customers with those kind of big projects. Now, you mentioned about working in identity, and what we're seeing is that is becoming more and more important. Why has the way that we work today and these cloud systems made that such an important part of our infrastructure and underlying our applications?
Well, as an identity SME, I would say that it's always been important. But the challenges that are faced by IT pros and by developers have changed significantly as we've moved towards cloud. We had in the past really, you know, often quite homogenous identity environments where we would have maybe a single directory capability like Active Directory. And, you know, we just by default integrate all of our applications into that. And, you know, it was a great solution, but it really required that a high level of network connectivity between, you know, the clients and the users and the client devices and, you know, the server machines and resources that the users were consuming. As we move into the cloud, the usefulness of that network as part of that control plane diminishes a bit because, you know, you mentioned hybrid, but we also have a lot of application architectures that are, you know, suitable for cloud. You know, microservices architectures, we have a lot more reliance on things like, you know, API gateway layers. And the technologies that we used in the past for identity point of view are not really suitable in those cases. So we still have a lot of the same requirements around, you know, verifying the identities of the users and the applications in these exchanges. But we have some additional challenges, which is that, you know, we have, you know, a mix of different technologies, even in a single application at times. And, you know, we have requirement for connectivity over the internet. And, you know, so we have a bunch of different types of security controls that we want to enact now. And so it's really changed the conversation a little bit. We have, you know, rather than leveraging, you know, just the OS's support for, you know, Active Directory authentication on-prem, we have to look at, you know, leveraging things like, you know, MSAL and Microsoft libraries for authentication, you know, across a number of different applications to standardize the way that we're leveraging identity. And, you know, we have to look at some more modern approaches for verifying, you know, the endpoint or the client and things like that.
Yeah, look, when I started in technology, security was so much easier because if you wanted to get access to a system, you literally had to badge into the office first and get access to one of those corporate-owned devices on the wired LAN. And we put these big firewalls and these DMZs between where our corporate data was, and it was nowhere near the internet. But because people just expect to be able to work from anywhere now on any device, that identity component in terms of that authentication and that authorization just becomes such a critical piece of our security footprint, doesn't it? Can you Is this getting into some of the territory when we talk about zero trust? Like, what does zero trust mean in an identity context?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, the concept of, you know, never trust, always verify. You know, I think that the example that you gave is great. You know, we used to, you know, rely a lot on, and some organizations still do, rely on those physical access controls as part of their, you know, their strategy for securing access to their resources and protecting against data loss and those types of things. Whereas, you know, it doesn't make as much sense in the cloud world, where you know, you now are consuming a bunch of SaaS applications, you're hosting your internal line of business applications and services in in the cloud, and not everything is on the same network. And then many organizations for some time have had a very mobile workforce, but given the current global situation with COVID-19, a lot of organizations that haven't had that approach are having to adopt it very quickly. So this means you've got people coming from a very heterogeneous client device set. So they might be on iOS or Android devices. They might be BYOD. Accessing a set of applications that are, very often a mix of on-prem but in the cloud and SaaS applications. In order to really, secure access to those applications, you need to look at other ways of verifying, and you can't just trust the network as that, as one of the factors for that, to prevent data from leaving your control. So data leaving the network is not necessarily a bad thing anymore, but you need some other controls. Using Azure Active Directory as your control plane, your identity as your control plane, lets you tie in security controls like, device compliance that we can manage through Intune and modern management of Windows devices, as well as, obviously multi-factor authentication and even moving into passwordless authentication types. That we're starting to support now in Azure Active Directory to really verify who that person is, and also verify what security capabilities does the client device have, and therefore how much do we trust this device? And maybe we can give them a limited session to an application, or we can enforce some other controls on the device, like encryption and those types of things. So absolutely, I think the zero trust concept really applies here, and if we don't have the option of using a network as a control plane, identity is really the logical place to start to enforce these controls, because it stops someone accessing the application or the service or the backend resources or data, right off the bat.
Yeah, right. And you mentioned, obviously with COVID-19 and our global pandemic, we're seeing more organizations empowering their workers to work from home or work from locations that are not their traditional office space. What that's meant is that our Microsoft 365 admins have been busier than ever with all of the controls that they can have to start enforcing that security and compliance off the network. And a lot of organizations, that first step into Azure AD quite possibly is an Office 365 or a Microsoft 365 environment. That's their first connection into Azure AD, maybe before they've even spun up any Azure Functions or any Azure VMs. They're making that connection into our cloud identity platform. So if I'm trying to connect the dots here, because if I am someone who is a Microsoft 365 administrator and I'm used to controlling identity and I'm used to being able to enforce security controls on a device, where do those application developers come in? How can they build applications that might take advantage of some of the work that I've already done to secure my organization?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's a great question, because, a lot of organizations do have these significant investments around, the governance and security of their office footprint. So, they're using SharePoint and OneDrive and, Teams and Mail, obviously. And they've got, a good understanding of the risk and how to mitigate the risks around the use of those cloud services. Often the investment that they put into that, things like implementing features like Azure Active Directory conditional access, And, you know, doing things like modern management of their Windows fleet so that they're able to enforce, you know, the right level of endpoint protection and security controls on the devices, things like, you know, BitLocker encryption and, you know, Hello for Business for signing into the devices, you know, biometrics. You know, those investments are only relevant to your other cloud applications if you also integrate them into the into Azure Active Directory as the identity platform. And allow you to extend that identity control plane to these other assets. And that's where, from a developer's perspective, you know, we're all about enabling developers to do that in as seamless a way as possible. So, shortly after last build, we announced GA for our MSAL libraries for, many platforms. But, we just made an announcement. Alex Simon's blog is a great thing to check out of GA for MSAL for Angular, so for your SPAs built in Angular. We've also got the Microsoft.identity.web for ASP.NET Core in public preview. So we're expanding the coverage of our libraries to make it easy for developers. And we're adding new features in terms of the management of your application registrations and things like that all the time. And there's some great announcements around supporting developers and sessions on it built to check out. But really, we also have a suite of integrations with things like Azure SQL DB and API management, things like that, so that it's very easy to adopt or integrate Azure Active Directory as an identity provider into these services. So, end to end, you can be, securing access and authorizing access with the same identity platform that you've already made all these investments in around, conditional access and multi-factor authentication and, potentially things like SIEM tool integration. So you've got coverage and your security operations team are able to kind of evaluate who's accessing these applications and when, and things like looking at where are the access is coming from, and what level of assurance is required for different applications. Absolutely. In many cases, the work that your IT pros around the office access have already done is quite easy to take advantage of through integrating your other applications.
That's a great point. Security really is in everything, and we're seeing that more with the integration of things like identity alerts in the Azure Security Center, in Azure Sentinel. It's one of those really important things that we need to be monitoring. And I love with things like conditional access that Microsoft actually uses our own threat intelligence, the signals that we analyze across the events that are happening on the internet to look at login events that are happening against Azure Active Directory and classify whether or not they are low, medium, or high risk. And then your organization can then determine what you want to happen as an action when those kind of risks are detected. But you don't have to try and figure out what each of those potential events could be and whether they would be at a low, medium, or high risk. We do all that intelligence work for you. That's given me a really good picture of the strength of building the applications on top of that platform. But what if I'm building an application that's not only used by people internally? So if I want to connect to other authentication systems, maybe, like, is that an option?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when we talk about identity, what we've been talking about so far, it's largely been focused around, the employees or the users that are part of an organization. But in the time of digital transformation, and especially where, a lot of organizations are looking at new ways to, interact and collaborate with their partners and their customers as a result of, limitations on people's movement and, the way that retail presence is open or not open at the moment. We absolutely have a really strong story around that tries to apply the same concepts around zero trust. And for example, our B2B collaboration capability to allow for users to for organizations to collaborate with their partners and share the same applications. And so in that case, the work that a developer has done to integrate with Azure Active Directory using, you know, MSAL or another method, is applicable then to these partner users via B2B. There's no additional work from the developer in that case. And we also have Azure Active Directory B2C or business to consumer to build experiences for your end users or your consumers or your customers or citizens in a government to citizen scenario. And these capabilities are really consistent from a developer's perspective, but open up great new scenarios for the organization.
Yeah, absolutely worth checking out. Look, thank you, Jesse, so much for your time today. And for our viewers, if you want more information about Azure Active Directory, head to aka.ms/AzureAD or check out the Learning Paths on Identity at Microsoft Learn.
Thanks,
Sonia. Now we understand why I